be with the rest of the congregation. That's what I'm getting at. So this is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, and our text is from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. So we'll read that in Jesus' name. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? He also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do, so that when I'm removed from the management, people may receive me into their houses.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe, my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended, the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. These are your words, O Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is everlasting truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So this parable that Jesus tells is kind of a difficult one for us to understand, and I'm no different than you. I struggled. I'll come out and say it. I struggled a lot this week with this text. And on the way to church this morning, I told my wife, I hope these people are praying that they'll be fed from God's word, because I can't even apply this to myself, much less to any of you. I don't know you that well. I don't know where you're at in your life, how this would apply to you. But we know, as we already sang in our opening hymn, that God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. And he's able to do this, all this stuff. So you pray. Pray that you'll be fed today. And God will speak to you through his word. So some of the difficulty with this story that's told here is we don't kind of know what to do with it, because the main character of the story, we would say, is the steward. And where we get hung up is we are trying to decide whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. You know, we're like sitting in our little judgment seat, and we're trying to figure out, well, is this guy good or bad? And that's exactly what we're doing here. And we can't really figure it out, because on the one hand, he works for this rich man, and we'll come back to that later. the fact that it's a rich man. But on the one hand, he's working for this rich man, and he's dishonest. He's wasteful. And so he's kind of like set forth as a bad example for us, like what we shouldn't do. But then the rich man, he like turns around and he commends and he praises this manager for something that he did. And so that's where we get hung up. We're like, well, is he good or is he bad? Or we don't know. But the thing is that the way I think we have to look at this parable is we have to realize that Jesus is using this story, this really kind of an illustration. He's using it to teach. And so there are key elements in the story that do apply. But not necessarily, it's not like a story about a steward that we have to judge whether he's like good or bad. But we need to take out some key things out of it. And there's a lot we can learn from this. Jesus is speaking this parable to the disciples. The Pharisees also are present, as we could read in verse 14 at the end of after the end of our reading. It says the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed him. So Jesus he's teaching. You know, we have to always remember that he's constantly teaching. He's trying to bring out the truth of God's word and ultimately the truth of who he is and what he's come to do. And so this parable then, it accomplishes something. It's what we call a performative utterance. Okay, so what that means is it's like God's word accomplishes something. It actually does something. And this teaching, it does something inside of the Pharisees. You know, they didn't respond very well to this. They started ridiculing Jesus. Like, he struck a nerve in them. And this parable that he told, like, it showed them that they were lovers of money. They didn't like to hear that. And so some of the main things in this parable are, like I said, the rich man. This rich man is God. You know, and I think we can't forget this. We can't forget that God is rich. Pastor Jesse's been reminding me this, since I've been here. God has a lot of money, he says. You know, and that's true. God has a lot of money. God has everything. You know, so that's the thing, and we're kind of in the position of being the manager. It's not our money. You know, that's the first thing we got to realize. Everything we have doesn't belong to us, really. It's God's money, and we manage it. We're just like in the position of managing the household. And so all that he's given to us. And so in the story, this man he doesn't do a good job at it. You know, he's wasting his master's stuff. And that doesn't go over very well. And the master wants to fire him. He says, turn in account of your management. No, it's audit time, in other words. Like, he's going to start looking at the books and see what's been happening. And as a result, this man is fired. He loses his job. But before he loses his job, he has this plan. He makes this little plan. And this is the part where his master, he praises him for it. Because of what he did. He sits down with his people that owe his boss money, and he starts slashing their bill in half and stuff like that. He tells them, how much do you owe? You know, well, cut it in half. And he's able to do this. He's in the manager's position. But you see what he's doing? He's taking somebody else's money, and he's basically working it to his advantage. And that's the lesson Jesus wants to teach us. You know, that this man is shrewd. He's shrewd. He's wise. He's able to do this. And so he tells them to cut their bill in half, or, you know, whatever, reduce it. And how that helps him is that because he knows that when he loses his job, he's hoping that he'll be able to get a job for these other people. And he'll get in with them because they'll remember the good thing he did. And so Jesus uses this to teach us that we should be like this. We should actually be like this. And this is, you know, part of what, like I said, he's using one part of this parable. He takes pieces out and he uses it as an example for us and as a teaching point for us. He says, I tell you to make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. So, like, the idea is that we use our money to make friends, to help people. And at first, maybe that strikes us a little weird. I don't know, like, we're thinking, well, so we're supposed to make friends because of money? I don't know, something about that just seems a little, like, dirty or something. But that's not how we should be looking at it. Because, like, think about in Matthew 25 when Jesus is there and it's like the judgment, and there's the sheep and the goats are called to him, and he puts the goats on his left side, the sheep on his right side, and he says that, you know, tells the sheep on the right side, you know, inherit the kingdom I prepared for you from the foundation of the world, and all of that. And then he tells them that, he says that, I was hungry and you fed me. I was sick and you visited me. You know, I was naked and you put clothes on me. You did all these things for me. And they said, when did this happen? And he said, whatever you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. And so there's an example of making friends with the things that we have, the stuff that's been given to us. Pretty much like putting out to other people. Look, always be looking for people that are in need, people you can help. And it's a good thing that happened to the people that did that. They had friends. They made friends. In eternity, on the other side of this thing, they have friends. And they have friends that are basically bearing witness and a testimony to what kind of person this was. They said, yeah, he helped me. Well, he helped me when I was in whatever situation. And on the other hand, the people that didn't make friends, they were, you know, Jesus said that I was sick, I was in prison, all those things, and you didn't do anything for me. So that's an example of not making friends with the things we've been given. And so, good on this man for this one thing, in that he was shrewd. You know, he was able to look out for himself. And so, in that's what his boss, that's what he was praising him for. Not necessarily not for the dishonesty and all the other things. You know, but that's a bad example. So this man's being used as an example, a good and a bad example. And that's how we just have to understand this. You don't let your brain hurt over this. It's just how this is. And so we are to help people with our money. You know, that's how it is. And so another thing that comes out in this is stewardship. You know, the fact that we have been given things to manage, okay? Each of us have been given something. You know, some more, some less. A lot of times we feel like it's not enough. You know, but whatever we have, God has given to us. As we sang in one of the praise songs, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. So everything's been given to us, and we want to be faithful in our management of it. And that's where faithfulness comes in. You know, this man was not faithful. he ripped his boss off and he did these things. But we don't want to be doing that. God, we don't take the things God gave us and misuse them, waste them, mismanage all of that. But we always have to remember, we're working for a rich man, and this is his stuff. And he could audit us. You know, we want to have everything be on the up and up, and that it's, when he looks, everything is just how it should be. That we've been doing the right things with the stuff he gave us. And so we have been made stewards of it. Apostle Paul talks a little bit about stewardship. That he said that he was a steward of the grace of God. And so are we. Now that's ultimately what God has given us. He's given us his grace. He's been good to us. And we don't take what God has given to us and misuse it. But we pass it on. We bless others. You know, where our speech, it says that should always be seasoned with grace. That the grace that God has given to us, we are stewards of this, and we are to give it out in abundance, just like he's given it to us. Another thing that Jesus teaches here is ultimately about greed. He's talking about greed. He's rebuking the Pharisees. He's teaching them who they are and that there's something about them that isn't good, that they are lovers of money. They're greedy, which is essentially what this manager's problem was. He was greedy. And are we greedy? Does that happen to us sometimes? We can be very greedy. Greed is like when you're, actually what's happening is you're taking ownership of things that aren't even yours. Taking ownership of things that don't belong to you. You know, where you want something that doesn't belong to you. Or you're trying to get things that don't belong to you. And the thing is, we always got to remember where everything comes from. That it comes from God. He's able, like you said, he's really rich. He's able to give us everything. Everything we have, he's given to us. And it's not our job to be wanting more. Like, if he wants us to have more, oh, he can give us more. He has unlimited supply. Now, just like we sing in that one Sunday school song, that my father's rich in houses and lands. He holds the wealth of the world in his hands. He has everything. He's able to give us anything that he would want to. So it's not really our job to be greedy. He wants us just to be content with what he's given us. And he knows what's best for us. So greed isn't something that we should have. He wants us not to be greedy, but be content. And the thing about greed is, greed can cause so many ugly things to happen. So many things can come because of greed. You know, and it doesn't only have to be money, but it comes so often because we want more money or like some kind of stuff. But greed, we can also be greedy for like fame and honor, and all that stuff goes hand in hand. And because of greed, we can be driven to do all sorts of really awful things. Because we're really controlled by greed. As Paul tells Timothy, that the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, so many things come out of this. It's just on and on, the corruption and all the bad stuff that comes out of greed. And so the solution is that we remember that where everything came from. God gives us everything. Don't gotta worry about getting more. That's his job. He's the one who gives us things. And then at the end of this lesson that Jesus has for us, he talks about the unjust or unrighteous wealth and true wealth. And so, what is the unrighteous wealth? What is the true wealth? the unrighteous, it sounds a little funny to say unrighteous wealth, but like, what does that mean, right? It's more like unjust is also how you could say this. Unfair. It's not really like, not really fair, equal. It's unjust, really. The Greek word is adikia for this unrighteous. It's not just. Like, it wasn't fair what happened to this, what this manager did. It wasn't, you know, he's taking what his master's money and trying to get ahead from his master's money. And that's really how this world works. If you get wise to the way of the world, like how money works, that's pretty much how it works. You basically use other people's money to get ahead. That's how interest works, and that's how all this stuff works. And so, but, you know, if we can't even handle that, we can't even be faithful in that, you know, what are we going to do with the true riches? The true riches being God's grace. You know, what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Now that's the ultimate riches. Paul calls it the unsearchable riches of Christ. Or he calls it in another place the immeasurable riches of his grace. You know, there's no way that you're quantifying this and putting dollar amounts on this. This goes way off the charts. This is unsearchable. You can't even like begin to figure out how rich you are when you have what God has given to you. Ultimately, we've been saved from death and from the power of the devil. We've been given life that we'll live forever. And so, this is what God has given to us. Now, this is the true riches that each of us have been given. The true riches of God. And so, you know, that puts it in perspective. That puts it in perspective when in dealing with our money. It's like, oh, this is like just the little stuff. You know, this is really nothing. This was really nothing. When you're talking about real riches, you know, the real thing is what we've been given in Jesus Christ. That's the real thing. And, you know, that we have to have that in line. We have to have that in proper focus, that we don't serve our money. We serve God. And God gives us the real thing, the true riches. And the other thing, actually, in the reality of it is that the money serves us. The money serves us. We use our money. It serves a purpose. It does the things we need it to do. We tell our money, you know, go here and help this person. Okay, yeah. The money listens. It serves us. And, you know, money is to serve us, and we are to serve God. So we don't serve money, because if we're serving money, then you're not serving God. God's way far above that. He has the real riches and the real money, so to speak. So that's the thing. We got to get that straight, each of us. We got to get that straight. God is, he's the rich man. He's above everything. And the other stuff, you know, put it underneath you. The money's your servant, and that's how it is. You know, that you don't go bowing down to the money and worshiping money and serving it. Now, don't let it tell you what to do. Like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. And no, the proper thing is to have God above us, and we worship and we serve him. And so, in closing, I want to just point you all to our Lord Jesus Christ and to his cross, what he's done for you, because there you have the treasure. There's the real riches and all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge and everything is hidden in Christ Jesus and his work. So there you have it. There you have the true riches. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Dear gracious Father, you are gracious. You have given us things that we haven't earned. You've given us not only money, but you've given us your grace, your immeasurable grace, and you have saved us through the work of your Son, and forgiven all of our sins, and made us your children. We thank you for this. We ask that you'd give each of us a proper perspective on money and managing our own finances, and that we would never get these things mixed up, where we'd begin to start serving money and serving these things, but that we would always remember that you're above all. You've given us everything. Help us all to that end, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.